Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us. It's going to be a fun show. Lots to talk about. Don, you're in the office here, hanging out with me, and he's playing around right now. He's trying to plug himself in. I don't know if he's not plugged in or what. Ava, you're here.
I'm here.
At least we're talking to each other. Is Don, are you around now?
I'm back.
He's here. We got a lot of fun and a new theme song. Don't know if you guys checked that out. Lots to be talking about today. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Welcome, Don. Ava, good to see you guys.
Yes, it's good to be back.
And it's always funny when you start thinking about fishing, you think about warm, enjoyable, sitting out in the boat, and then it comes to the want to get out early and go fishing, and it's not anywhere near that.
Well, we just talked about it last week, about some of the trials and tribulations of just loading and unloading your boat on a ramp where there's potential for freezing, you know, and the ramp getting slippery.
And literally loading and unloading your boat onto the ramp, not the water,
right?
Which is a problem.
Yeah, no, I'm more worried about the truck getting unloaded.
Or getting it back up the ramp.
Right.
That too, especially in freezing conditions. I know they're out at the National Walleye Tour is out in Detroit right now. And I'd be out there, but I don't have my new boat yet, but I will have a new boat, which is good. New Vexus is a coming. It's a gleam in somebody's eye, and I've got a date, and it's going to be built, which is awesome. But yet they're out there and been pre-fishing this whole week. And you want to talk about difficult conditions, cold, water temperature at 35 degrees, air temperature not getting above 38 degrees, and wind. And they had a couple gale force warnings that blew up river, and they said it was literally flooding ramps. It's that bad when the Detroit River gets backed up from Erie blowing in.
I mean, I've never been on the Detroit River. How wide is that compared to like the Mississippi or?
Oh, it's about probably up in the main part in Red Wing area. It's probably half again as wide in certain areas.
Okay.
Mainly about that distance. So it's got some, it's decent width, varied obviously depths with islands and different cuts. And of course the biggest issue is, or I shouldn't say issue, but it's divided Canadian water. You can only fish the U.S. water. So that makes it that lovely invisible
really?
Line.
So you got to stay on the left.
Going stay up to the left. Stay to the left.
Thank goodness. So, I doubt if there's buoys going up and down the.
No, and you can't tell the fish which side to stay on either,
no.
Which makes it difficult. I know when back a number of years ago when we fished it, it was open on both sides. And there's some really good spots on the Canadian side. The salt loading area, there's a big area there. The mine, you're dealing with the metal, some of the area that they're pouring steel right there. It's unbelievable. And not far up into Detroit, same thing. But yeah, the Canadian water out really changes things. But when the weather gets bad, and this is what happens, Don. So you've got St. Clair that feeds this. St. Clair is very shallow.
Right.
And so Erie, if it blows up river. If Erie blows, you get a wind blowing from the south. South, generally south.
Okay.
And it'll blow right up in. You can get 4 or 5 footers in the river.
Oh, wow.
But what it does is it stops the river, backs everything up. Well, if it churns up at St. Clair, because it's so shallow, when the river flows, then all that chocolate milk water goes right down, and it's like flushes in, and then you have zero visibility. So you can have literally overnight clear water one day, and then I have a complete chocolate milk mess the next. And that's why that, you know, jig fishing works, but then you've got to go to hand lining, which is that it helps, you can catch fish that way, which is where it started. Hand lining started. We have a large pound and a half weight cable and a shank that you connect two different monofilament lines to, and then you put a floating rapala at different lengths back. Usually it's 10 feet back and then 20 or 15, 30, and you just troll up river at a diagonal.
So for the layman out there, that's a human downrigger.
Basically as close as you can get to a human downrigger. Yeah, and you're lifting a pound and a half weight over and over and over. I won a lot of money doing that.
And what kind of depth are we talking?
It's a very depth. It's 15 to 12 to 10 to 18 to 22.
So it's not 25, 30 feet?
It can be in the shipping channel itself.
Okay.
But generally, we fish out here in 20 feet of 25 feet of water, so it's not a big deal with the hand line because you get so much
it's
weight.
It's a lot to drag on your arm, though.
And you're lifting and dropping.
And you're lifting, yep.
Yeah. It is okay. Spring loaded, though, which is not a bad thing. But nonetheless, conditions are going to make it very difficult, and I don't have the results personally right now, but you can check them out online. It'll be definitely there. But a struggle, and one of those times when normally I'd be envious of the guys being out there, but, you know, in a week that they had, no thank you.
Yeah.
No, not a good thing. Yeah, there you have it. A recent report coming out of Michigan, aerial survey shows the Michigan elk herd is growing, Don. They conducted the survey in January, and they said the elk population has increased 5% since 2019. Pretty nice little growth. Yeah.
Any idea how big the herd is to begin with?
Total of 793 elk in 92 groups were observed in the population that was estimated to account for animals and that some of them obviously weren't observed during the survey. They estimate the elk herd is remaining very healthy, said Chad Stewart of the DNR. And the management plan with Michigan, that was last updated in 2012. In 2022, an update to Michigan's elk management progress and accomplishments over the past decade was developed and is continuing to develop over the next 10 years. So pretty neat deal, good success story. Michigan's native elk died out in the 1800s, and they began reintroducing them in 1918, and they actually were able to be released in near Wolverine, Michigan, thus the Michigan Wolverines.
I'm guessing that's...
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Kind of a nice link there. I had to work that in for the guys in Michigan, so... Kind of a cool deal, Don.
Yes.
Don't you think? Yeah. Well, tell you what. We have a very near and dear close friend of mine, Mr. Jim Vick, coming from Lutzen. He'll be joining us, giving us all the cool information about what's going on up there and some things that we may not know. Stay tuned. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody, and we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook and where, Don?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Lots of cool stuff there, lots of links, and of course, the interactive map wherever you are in the United States or wherever you want to be. It is wherever you want to be, and you can check out any of the seasons, any of the fishing, hunting, or otherwise activities with the local DNR website. So, pretty cool deal. Speaking of pretty cool, I was able to visit with this gentleman, longtime friend of mine. We actually just figured it out. We've been friends for over 30 years, which is kind of funny. Mm. But when we think about it, the now GM, general manager of Lutzen Ski Area up in northern Minnesota, Mr. Jim Vick. Jim, good to have you with us.
Hi there.
So in our shall we say, very varied conversation that we had concerning everything under the sun. You know, always been a curiosity when you're looking at how many people are going skiing. And of course, when you look around the Twin Cities, Don, I don't know if you've been out to the local areas, you know, Welch or otherwise. I mean, you get out there on a Saturday, my first thing is, don't you people have jobs? I mean, it's just crazy, the number of people that are skiing. And, you know, you're obviously in a destination situation, Jim. How has all the pandemic affected you guys? What's been the take on that?
Well, skiing was in an unusual spot during the pandemic. I mean, you know, it hit everybody, I think, hard in some way or another. I mean, things were changing constantly. The rules were changing. You know, no one knew where we were headed. But as the dust started to settle, and especially last winter, being outdoors is one of the few things that was the open thing. And skiing was still social. It's a very social sport. You do it with friends. You're out in the hail. You're sharing the experience. And so that combination of being able to do something with people you like to hang out with and still feel safe and secure because you're outdoors and
yep.
such just became a thing. And so skiing overall, I think across the country, did remarkably well. And then you add in a destination like Lutzen where it's an easy drive, so you're not, you know, in airports or mass transit or any of that. You're in your little family pod in your car. You drive up. You stay at your condo. You can unload directly into your room. You can eat your meals there.
Yep.
We had our best year ever for attendance because of that. And
well, and people feel comfortable wearing a mask when you're skiing. It's not like
mask enforcement was easy because it's winter and you're outside and a mask is fine. And so it went over well. We had the first part of winter where there was actually a, you know, if we can remember all the way back to then, that we, you know, no one was allowed inside. I mean, we could have a restroom open, but we couldn't have chalets open as warming spaces. And the thought of, you know, how do you operate a ski area without a place to warm up? But again, partly because we had, you know, slopeside lodging, so people could just go back to their room, their own private chalet.
It kept everybody separated, and yeah, there was...
But otherwise, I mean, folks were just so glad that they could do something that they came in and prepared with, you know, a grill to tailgate from, and they would sit in their car and just warm up a little bit, and I was shocked at how well it went and how well the guests responded to
difficult.
Whatever changes needed to be made. They were willing to do it because it allowed them to do something that was both active and social.
Well, we talked a little bit about Canada, you know, how did that affect, you know, people couldn't come across the border. I mean, has that come back now if you're looking at the transition?
Yeah, that was a little tougher. So the border was closed all of last winter.
Because you get a lot of people, right? What is it, about 15 or 20% of your population is Canadians?
It's about 8% of our overall visits, a much bigger chunk of my season pass visits, because we get a number of Thunder Bay regulars that come down frequently.
Yep.
And so they were completely out last year. This year, the border made some announcements that it was going to be open, but then had a testing requirement that was just too hard to get. We didn't have the services in Cook County, because we're such a small community, to
yep.
provide the tests, and they were expensive. It was a PCR test that they required until just recently.
Don, you know about that.
And so,
yeah.
Yeah, so the reality too is, you know, that business just still hasn't recovered yet. Now, as of April 1st, that changes, and the Canadian border going back across, which is where the delay has been, they are now removing their testing requirements. So I expect our final couple of weeks here to see a number of our Canadian visitors who have just been, you know,
chomping at the
still
bit.
Wanting to come down.
Yeah.
We post on social media, and every post we do, we get the mournful you know, reply of they just want to come down so badly. And so I think we will be reunited here shortly.
You see the pouty lips coming out like, I want to go. I can't go.
Yeah, so they're quite looking forward to it.
Another topic we talked about a little bit, just give us a brief update. How's the expansion scenario going, or is it pushing along ploddingly slow, or are we moving along at a better pace?
The expansion is moving along. It's been a long process, and partly because it's been such a thorough process. So we are asking to expand onto some Forest Service land adjacent to the ski area. It's common out west. It's maybe a first for the Midwest. So part of it is just that it's new here.
Yep.
And
big,
and
too.
They were studying. They didn't go into it lightly. They did a full-on environmental impact statement, and that was a 320-page report with all the graphs and all the numbers and really years' worth of study. That was published and presented last fall and then was opened for public comment. When they were working on it, it just felt like it was overkill for a few runs, and, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of physical activity that happens out there.
Yep.
But as they were responding to people's questions and concerns, the report remarkably addresses so much of that.
Yep.
And so the Forest Service, during their presentation, would answer these questions with not guesses, but actually pretty significant data that they had researched. And so that went well, but they are now in the process of evaluating that. I don't know, there was over 500 comments and
yep.
people, you know, both all about it. They see the vision of it and they see what it can do for our community. Folks who have hesitation and, you know, really don't want to see anything else change. And so a mix of comments, and then they reply to all of those. And as a result, it still is in that stage right now.
So it's looking at 400 or 500 acres, I think is what it was.
How many additional runs would you end up with if all goes well?
Oh, I forget the run count exactly, but Eric is correct. It's about 500 acres in two different segments. One expands a little bit on Eagle Mountain, and then the bulk of it is an expansion over on Moose Mountain. It nearly doubles our terrain on Moose Mountain. So
okay.
It's a fairly significant addition of additional runs. Again, intended as a, you know, multi-decade
right.
expansion plan.
So
that,
sure.
that, you know, it starts and it just grows organically as we're able to, you know, find the capital to do it. But it would allow the ski area to grow for our next generation.
So before we wrap up, we have two things. One is we want a brief comment on the fishing. We talked a little bit about lake trout, and you said it was absolutely outstanding. Is it still good?
Well, so lake trout, you know, is in the summer and last fall in particular was
yep.
just sensational. Right now there's very few folks out. I'm not sure even if the season is open out there.
Yep.
Steelhead will be gathering up in front of the rivers here soon. I think there's maybe a little bit of activity a week or so ago when we had some meltwater going on. It's been colder since then. We're still kind of in winter conditions right now.
You guys getting snow right now?
We got a couple inches yesterday. So, yeah, and 8 inches the week before and 8 inches the week before that. So we're rolling into April with kind of midwinter conditions. Everything's open. A new coat of snow. It's pretty prime.
How late do you guys plan on being open? I heard you're open. You can plan on being open until May 1st.
We are daily through April 10th. It's another 10 days or something.
Okay.
And then weekends through till May 1st.
Nice. Very cool. And the big wrap up, I'll be up there in not this weekend, but the following weekend. And that's the big meltdown, big party going on. Lots of stuff happening.
Yeah,
Mountain
Meltdown. We had to take, again, a hiatus for a couple of years, but our goal is, weather permitting, we have an outdoor music show, so six bands over a couple of days, and just celebrate the season and what it's been. We've been fortunate over the years to have some glorious, you know, sunny spring days
yep.
and some live music and some camaraderie. It's it's a fun event.
It'll be a little fun, and of course you can check it out on our website. The link we'll have on thevalleyoutdoors.com. It'll take you right up there. Just jump on The Valley Outdoors and it'll be right there. Jim, can't thank you enough. It's always a good time to have you on. We'll be seeing you in about a week and a half here, or just over a week, and it'll be good. Enjoy it. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thanks for checking in with us.
And stay warm up there.
Oh, yeah. The spring is coming. We'll get those sunny days.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk soon, and we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Always good to talk to Jim, Don.
Yes.
Pretty neat guy.
I've known Jim for probably 16, 18 years.
You know, it's funny, when we were talking, having a beer up at Lutzen last week, we were talking fishing for almost an hour plus, and he is a diehard walleye guy.
Really?
He goes out. He'll go out in his canoe out in a lake, and he is disappointed. He's like, "There's somebody on the lake. Don't you have somewhere to go?" He gets pretty excited about that. But yeah, he's big on the walleye, and his wife really enjoys fishing too. So,
are there a lot of walleye lakes in that area?
Oh yeah, big time.
Really?
Big time, yep. And, you know, you can catch them on jigs. You can catch them. They've been doing a lot on crankbaits, ripping wraps, and that's been pretty...
You're not talking the boundary waters.
Shad wraps, no. Shad wraps, I guess, primarily, but I'm going to introduce them to some ripping wraps when I go up next weekend and see if they can get them to snap on those. So,
okay. But
always fun to see that. So, speaking of walleye, Don.
Yes.
The latest... Drum roll, please. The latest limits for Lake Mille Lacs have been released. If you lived under a rock or hadn't heard.
Keep in mind, Mille Lacs, if you don't know, is probably the biggest walleye fishery in Minnesota. It's the largest
naturally fishery. Reducing fishery. Yep. It's one of the biggest that's out there.
Yep.
We call it the bowl on the hill, is really what it is. The just released Lake Mille Lacs open water anglers will be allowed to harvest one walleye measuring 21 to 23 inches or one longer than 28 from Saturday, May 14th through Monday, May 30th. After a summer of catch and release fishing with an early July closure, reduce hooking mortality, the one fish limits expected to return on September 1. So it goes through the 30th, have one, summer is going to be catch and release, and then it goes back to one in. Two recent year classes have showed below average numbers of walleye, which means the need to factor in that fewer fish than normal will mature into spawning adults during the next few years.
You know, one of the things, I think a factor there is a fact for the last 2 years, people couldn't get past the northern border. So the lakes in our area anyway were, the pressure on them, a lot more anglers were on the water.
Yeah, and a lot too comes with the spawning rate, if they see some different spawning rates.
Yep.
So then while the walleye drop catch rates for 2018, year classes aren't as dramatic as previous levels. The closed walleye harvest on Mille Lacs, they do signal that more conservative walleye harvest regulations may be needed in coming years. I don't know how you can be more conservative than one. It doesn't get any more conservative. After the opening weekend, which fishing is allowed 24 hours a day on the opening weekend, so people be comfortable with that. Fishing hours on Mille Lacs will be 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for everything, all species, beginning Saturday, June 4th. Muskie, northern pike anglers using artificial lures or sucker minnows longer than 8 will be allowed to fish after 10 p.m. And then walleye catch and release will be June 1 through Thursday, June 30th. Then it'll be a stop for 2 weeks. That's the hottest of the temperatures of the summer, generally speaking.
Right.
And then it will be reduced for hook and line mortality. And then it'll be back open from Friday, July 1st through the 15th. Catch and release walleye will resume 16th through Wednesday, August 31st, and then it'll go back to having one, a limit of one. So, but yeah, it's a sad deal when it has to get to that, but what do you do? So let's end with a good story, Don.
All right.
I like a good story. A good story, the 2022 Nest Predator Bounty Program opens for all South Dakota residents. You pulled this off of somewhere. I don't know where you got that, but it's a good story.
It came from the Department of Natural Resources, Fish and Game from South Dakota.
Pier, South Dakota, the South Dakota Game, Fish and Parks, GFP, reminds people that the program for Nest Predator Bounty opens for residents April 1st, began in 2019, part of Governor Noem's Second Century Initiative. It is open for any youth under the age of 18 on March 1st. To date, 1,447 tails have been submitted, and this allows tails from raccoon, striped skunk, badger, red fox, and opossum eligible for $10 apiece, Don, with a maximum total payout of $500,000 for the program. It runs until July 1, until the maximum total payout is reached. Either one, they're going to run it until then. And the maximum for a kid,
$500.
We're joking off air. Don, as a kid, never would have done anything except hunt every single day after class until he's dark.
Well, you talk about a fun part-time job.
Well,
I mean, they used to pay you 10 cents for a tail for a chipmunk or something, but $10 a tail?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So a lot of fun with that program. I congratulate those guys in the South Dakota area. Christy Noem, what an amazing governor out there. So, hey, speaking of amazing, we had an amazing show today. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Don, Ava, for myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we love having you with us. Check us out next week. See ya.